Those of you that are married, have you discovered it's kind of feels uncomfortable to even kiss your spouse these days? I mean, you wonder if I'm supposed to do this or not, you know? All right. Turn with me to, turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. I realize some of you were not here last week. I encourage you get the CD, download it on the internet, on our website. But we looked back at a question that God asked us in Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to go back and look at some other places in Genesis. And to hopefully just set a foundation for this year that I believe that God wants to help us strengthen two relationships in our life this year in 2018. And a lot of the activities at church and the sermons and different things are going to be linking back to the relationship that we have with God and the relationship that we have with other people. And in fact, so much of the Bible can be boiled down to those two things. That's really at the center and the heart of everything that God has for us. And so we want to challenge you this year to invest in those areas of your life. It's nice when we have a new year, we kind of think of it as a new beginning or a clean slate, or this year that's not going to happen. And that's not a bad mindset to have. But if we have goals or ideals that have no changed behavior, then we're going to really be frustrated. Have you ever decided to lose weight and then you didn't change your diet? You didn't join a gym? All right, it was just a wish. All right, and so we'd ask you this year to really think about, how am I going to invest time and energy, resources into my relationship with God and my relationship with other people? Because what we value, we tend to make time for, don't we? All right. So we want to look at these from a lot of different angles this year. All right. And we hope that these will come up higher in our life. So Mark chapter 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. Another translation says to the religious debate. How many of you know you don't want to get into a religious debate with Jesus? All right, that would be, you're not going to win. All right, so he realized that Jesus had answered well. Well, that's not a surprise, right? So he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus replied, and he quotes from two different sources in the Old Testament. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only God, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. And so this person was not asking to trick Jesus. It seemed like he truly had a sincere heart. So Jesus made it very clear that God has already communicated to us through the law that love God fully and wholly and love other people as you love yourself. All right. And so this week we're going to look more on the first part, the God, us loving God, this relationship with God. Next week we'll look at the second part of what Jesus said. But go back to Genesis. All right. Last week we were in Genesis chapter 3. But Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Genesis chapter 2 is kind of a retelling of the same story, but with an emphasis of that God put Adam and Eve there. So God made a beautiful garden, and he put us in it. Have you noticed that God didn't make a factory? All right, he didn't make a concrete room. He made something beautiful. In fact, the word Eden means pleasantness. So he made something beautiful that was pleasant for us, and he put us there, right? He gave us a job. He gave us responsibility. He invited us and commanded us to partner with him on the earth, all right? And in you know, the first people that read Genesis were not us, right? And so when we think of a garden or a meeting place, we think of certain things. But in ancient times when this was written, when you met with God, Israel, but all the different religions, they would meet with their God at a temple. And so there would be an image of their God at the temple. And typically, then the temple would have, it would be a beautiful place. It would be a place that would be inviting. And so the idea of a temple was where, it was this place where God and man intersected. All right? Where I'm there, but God is also there. And so Eden, where God put us, was a place that was incredibly beautiful. It was pleasant, but it was also a meeting place. It was the place where God and man met together. And that was the way it was supposed to be. That God and his people were created to be together. Now, one of the things in Genesis that we see that is very clear is that on all the days God created, right? And he created different things. And it's amazing that the earth that we live in is completely designed for human habitation. And so, you know, people have been thinking, and now finally we've figured out how to get to Mars, and we can get there and take pictures and videos, and we can pick up rocks and stuff. But you know what they keep discovering is when we go to Mars, they say, we can't live there. It can't sustain human life. You know, they get really excited about Mars if they find ice. Okay, but we need more than just ice to live, right? But see, and maybe there is another place that can house us, but I don't think it's a coincidence that as far as we go, as far as we know, this is where humans are. That was by design, an intelligent designer called God. So he put us here, and so he made all these animals, and he made the earth to bring forth. But then when he created us, the Bible says something amazing. He says that he created us in his image. In his image, in his likeness. So when God created the elephant, he didn't create the elephant in his image. All right, so people, you know, all throughout the years, they'll have a, you know, a lion god or an elephant god or a whatever, impala god. But see, our God, the God that created the heavens and the earth, the true God, well, you know, Pastor, we can't see him, but what does he look like? He looks a lot like you. Because he was the model that he used to create you. Now, I think he did that for a lot of reasons. And probably we won't look at those today. But I think I'd like to look at them later this year. But one of the reasons that God created us in his image was so that he could have a relationship with us. Have you discovered that it's very difficult to have a relationship with your dog? I talk to my dog. He doesn't talk back. All right, I ask him questions. Why did you do that, right? He's not able to answer that, all right? So our friendship, our companionship is very, very limited, all right? He never apologizes. He never says, I'm sorry, okay? And so relationship cross species, it just kind of doesn't work, does it? You remember when Adam was naming the animals? And he was naming, and everybody had a partner. And after a while, and I think it was really God's intention, was he was like, hey, I don't have someone like me. You know, and I think it was wise for God to give Eve to Adam after he realized he had a need for Eve. You know, otherwise he would have just put a fence around and made a guys club only kind of thing or something. So the fact is, you need someone like you to have a relationship with. And so God was and is and always will be love. God is love, right? It's his nature. How many of you know love has to have an expression? So I believe God loves the giraffes and he loves the impalas, but not like he loves you. All right. The Bible talks about that, you know, and we see when the tabernacle and the temple of the Old Testament, that God says, I'll make my habitation among whom? Among men. among people, among those who have my likeness. We're like each other, and so we can have a relationship with each other. All right, so God created us like himself because we were literally in our design. We were made to connect with God. We were made to have a relationship with him. All right. So intrinsic in us is to seek God. Romans puts it this way, that he put eternity in the heart of every man. It's kind of interesting if you study history and world culture and everything. You pretty much at any time, anywhere in the world, people are worshiping something. All right. They're singing, they're chanting, they're giving blood. They're doing something. Why? Because God put eternity in the hearts of men. We were designed to have a relationship with him. All right. So let's go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. This is the same text we saw last week. Again, the serpent comes and is questioning God's authority, questioning God's wisdom, and begins to shed doubt on God. So the woman was convinced. Verse 6. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and suddenly they felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves to cover themselves. And we'll talk about that next week, how that sin, one of the first things it did is it broke the relationship that we have with each other. Shame, hiding. Verse 8, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you you were naked?" the Lord God said. Asked, "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit and I ate it." All right, guys, say this with me. 2018. No excuses. All right. Eve is a blessing. All right. So please note that, all right, so it was after their rebellion and after they decided, I'm going to determine what's good and bad. How many know man has been doing that for a long time? And we are notoriously ineffective at redetermining what is right and wrong. And boy, do we love to do that. And I think 2018, we're doing it more than ever, probably in the history of humanity. Okay, so God was walking in the garden, and it seems as though that this was not unusual. Right? We really don't know from when God commissioned them and put them in the garden to when the serpent began his conversation. The Bible doesn't tell us how long that was. We don't need to know. All right, but what we do know is God was walking in the garden, that they shared this place. How many know God didn't knock on the door and say, "Hey, Adam, do you mind if I take a stroll through your garden?" It seems like it was a public space for both of them. So God was walking in the garden at the cool of the day, at the end of the day. Now, I don't know about you, but isn't that really the best time of the day? All right, so hopefully you've been doing stuff during the day, right? You're tilling, you're creating with God. But at the end of the day, it's time to chill, right? Time to connect with other people. And so God comes walking in the garden. And it seems as though, from this account, is that one of the reasons he was coming to walk in the garden was to hang out with his people. All right? Because when God was walking, he didn't find Adam and Eve. Now, we know that God is all-knowing, so he already knew. So when he said, "Where are you?" it wasn't like hide and go seek, right? He already knew where they were. But he was calling out to them because when God came walking in the garden, he expected, and perhaps there was a practice already, that they would walk together. They would hang out together. I don't know about you, but being together is really, isn't it one of the greatest joys of life? Well, let me qualify that. Depends on who you're hanging out with, right? Okay. But this is God. And up to this point, all they're hanging out was before sin. It was this beautiful garden. Can you imagine what that was like? To walk with God. Later on, we see one of Adam's descendants who Enoch, the Bible says, he walked with God. And we don't really have any other explanation other than God said, why don't you just come on, walk over with me? And God just took him. All right. And he didn't die a physical death. God just took him to heaven. All right. So God was coming to fellowship, coming to walk with, coming to enjoy the company of the people that he created in his own likeness. And that was one of the purposes to be like God, was to fellowship with God. All right. So when he didn't find them, he called out. All right. Something was not normal. Something was unusual. Okay, I don't know about you, but when if I'm not with my wife during the day or a certain time, all right, and I get to our house and I see her car there, and you know she's really organized, and you know if she's going somewhere, she would tell me. But if I get home and her car's there, and I'm expecting her to be there, but then I don't find her in her normal spots. How many of you have normal spots at your house, right? There's not 100 of them. There's just a few spots that we go to, right? So if I can't find her in her spots, what do I do? Hey, Haley, where are you? Now, it's not that she's in trouble. It's just I can't find her. And I'm expecting her to be there. And I want to hang out. It's the cool of the day. This is exactly what God was doing. Adam, where are you? It's normally not like this. Where'd you go? And he's calling out to Adam. So we were made, Colossians tells us, we were made by God and we were made for God. That's how life makes sense. Is connected to God. And there's a lot of things we can do in life that will find some type of meaning or significance. And not all of them are bad. And people find significance in what they do and maybe even helping or blessing other people. People find significance in where they go and what they see and what they experience or who they know. But all of significance and all of our meaning comes back to God calling out your name, saying, where are you? Where are you? Now, I want to read it'll be a poem, but it was a song, Don Francisco, 1970s. For some of you, it was a really great time of our life, our history. Some of you were not here yet. We understand that's great, all right? But he was one of the first kind of contemporary Christian singers, and he wrote a song, Adam, Where Are You? And I'd sing it to you, but I want to bless you, not hurt you. Certainly affect it would affect our attendance more than cholera. Okay. All right. But listen to this, and it's really this account of Genesis 3. Unashamed and naked in a garden that had never seen the rain. Rulers of a kingdom full of joy, never marred by any pain. The morning all around them seemed to celebrate the life they'd just begun. And in the majesty of innocence, the king and queen come walking in the sun. This is before sin, isn't it? But the master of deception now begins with his dissection of the word. And with all his craft and subtlety, the serpent twists the simple truth they've heard. While hanging in the balance is a world that has been placed at their command, and all their unborn children die as both of them bow down to Satan's hand. And just before the evening, in the cool of the day, they hear the voice of God as he is walking. But they can't abide his presence now, so they try to hide away. But still they hear the sound as he is calling, Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? Why was God calling? And I think in this account in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, I just want to bring out just a few simple things of why God was calling and why God created us for this fellowship. First of all, we were created to fellowship with God. We were created to listen to him. One of the themes of the Bible is the word of God, the voice of God, the opinion of God, the fear of God. And all of these kind of link back to what is God saying? All right, again, cross-species communication, very difficult. All right, we keep recording the dolphins and the whales. What are they saying to each other? We don't know. We don't know what they're saying to one another. All right, now, if you're a whale, you know exactly, because we're talking whale. All right, so God doesn't speak to animals. He speaks to us. He comes talking. He comes with an opinion. He comes to fellowship, to correct, to cheer. All right. And a lot of the Bible is kind of sometimes is God talking to us. Sometimes it's us talking to him. All right. So fellowship with God means that we value his voice. We value his opinion. Fellowship with God, having a relationship with God, means that, and there's another great theme in the Bible that we see, Jesus talked about it, it's all throughout the Psalms, and that is to seek the Lord. So it's not that God is hiding, but it means that as we live our life, and I don't know about you, but are there people in your life that you tend to want their opinion about stuff? Okay. And obviously we need to be very selective about who those people are, because their opinion is only as good as their intelligence. Right? Okay. Or their values or their own wisdom from God. All right. But we tend to want the opinion when we're making decisions. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And so in all of our life, we're looking for, we're listening for, we're asking for, reading for what? The opinion of God about our life, about our decisions, about our money, about our family. Amen? And so the fear of the Lord, it just means that I value that more than I do grandma. Okay? And if you care more about grandma's opinion than God's, then you lack the fear of the Lord. You lack a true and vital relationship with God. Okay, because did you notice that Eve and Adam, when the serpent came and began to tell them these lies and these things, you know what they could have done? They could have said, serpent, you know what? I need to get back to you. This sounds really good. But in the cool of the day, God's going to come and hang out, and I'm going to ask him. In fact, I'll take you to him. Let's ask him together if what you're saying is true. But they didn't do that, did they? They disregarded the opinion and the voice of God. So a relationship with God means that we fellowship with him. That includes his word, his opinion, his ways. Number two, that relationship with God means that we allow God to define life. Everything. Everything. All right? So, throughout human history, we keep taking this job from God, don't we? We really take this job from God. So, in the Bible, so we see in the garden that God, remember, God made Adam to sleep, and the Bible says he took a rib. Everybody say one rib. I know that's not what you're looking for at the restaurant. One rib. All right. No, no, nobody's going to get rich selling one rib dinners. Okay. But God took one rib from Adam and he created one woman. Now, but how did he do that? Why did he do that? Because he knew that he needed one. God. God invented this. God designed this. And so if God wanted us to be polygamous or to have a side chick or a spare tire, he would have taken multiple ribs. And he wouldn't have presented Eve, he would have presented a group. Here's Eve and Sally and a little bit of Jessica on the side, and a little bit of, right? But God didn't design it that way, did he? No, he didn't. He didn't design it that way. So, but what we do, and see, this is discounting this relationship with God that we were designed to have, is to say, I'm going to take the fruit. Good and bad, I decide it. I decide it. And so we celebrate people who have multiple people on the side. They become our heroes. Bad becomes good. See, that's what happened up to the point of the flood. What happened? Men did evil in their hearts all the time. Right? And then, now we've pretty much, at least the entire Western world, all right, has said, you can be married to whomever you want to be married to. It doesn't need to be an Adam and an Eve. It doesn't mean male and female. If you love someone that is the same gender, who am I to judge? Who am I to say you can't? Well, if you have a relationship with God, the answer to that question is, yes, I don't have the right to do that. But you know who does? The designer. The inventor. But that's how I feel. Wait a second. But it's not about your feelings. It's about God's design. Amen. So relationship with God means that every part of our life, right? So, you know, at church, maybe sometimes, you know, during the offering time, that's when you get on your cell phone and you're like, I don't want to listen to this. Love, sacrifice, it's my money. I'm going to keep my money. But see, that's not how God designed your money to work. God designed you to be generous and to make a difference for other people. Amen. Shouldn't be just the Muslims sorting out cholera. The Pentecostals are too busy driving their Mercedes. They don't have any extra money. Oh, welcome back to church. All right. So anyway, so we allow a relationship with God means we allow our Creator to define life. All of it. 100% of it. All right. Three, we also see that this relationship with God also involves partnership and responsibility. Okay. He's not just our buddy. All right. We're not just chilling with God. All right. Having a cappuccino. All right? There is fellowship, but there's also a job to do. There's responsibility that God put in us. And we have to understand our role. And so what did God say when he put us in this beautiful garden? He said, rule it. That's what the Bible means, rule it. Like a king. Under my kingship, but on my behalf as a king, rule this place. Tend it. Cultivate it. Make it grow. Make it be fruitful. And multiply. Grow your relationships and your families. All right. So we have to, a relationship with God also means that I understand my role with him. Okay. And that comes from spending time with his, the way he made life to work. All right. And Hopefully we'll look at this more in more depths this year. But one of the things I think comes with great frustration in life is when you are expecting God to do your job. All right? He could do it, but he's not going to do it. All right. Have you noticed that God said to us, multiply, be fruitful, tend to the earth? Okay. And have you noticed in human history when there are famines or there is waste, and you know, a lot of people in Zambia are talking about, hey man, we need to grow more stuff, right? We could feed half of Africa if we kind of figured this out. And I agree with that. But have you noticed that God is not himself Yahweh's pivot, center pivot? Now, could he do that? He could. Does he do it? Absolutely not. Why? It's your job. It's your job. Now, here's the thing. Our job can only be done well in partnership with him. His grace, his wisdom, our seeking him. So we never become independent from him. We're always dependent on him. But there is a real sense in the Bible that God is dependent on you to see things get done that he wants to get done. So we have a job to do. Tell your neighbor, get working. All right. Number four, that we are to have a loving relationship with God. Now, Jesus, so when we think of a loving relationship with God, sometimes we just think of Valentine's Day, right? Whatever that means to you. But Jesus said, if you love God, you will obey God. So obedience and love are hand in hand. Okay. Obedience and love, loving others. John brought that in his epistle, 1 John. It's kind of weird that you would say, I love God. Woohoo, I love church. Woo, I love to love God. But you hate your brother. No, that is not how it works. It doesn't work. If you love God, then you love the people he loves. Okay, so a loving relationship with God is more than just you putting on your favorite Hillsong song and having a moment with God. I'm not saying don't do that, but please, when the song is off, go love your spouse. Go pick up trash. Be a blessing and love humanity. And number five, we have to realize that a relationship with God is also that we have a dependency, what Genesis tells us, on a serpent-crushing savior. The seed of the woman. The Bible says that even as everybody was kind of getting in trouble, remember after God finds out what's happening, he said, all right, serpent, Eve, Adam, pull up a chair. Here's how it's going to be. All right. So even in that moment, even as God pronounces a curse upon the serpent, all right, and the consequences that he tells Adam and Eve about are not great either, okay? But even in that moment, even before he starts talking to Adam and Eve, he said, there will come a seed, someone from the woman one day, who will come and will crush your head, who will take away your authority. He will level you, serpent. Things won't be as they are right now one day because there's a seed of a woman who's coming. All right. And that seed of the woman we know today is Jesus Christ, the one who became flesh, the one we talked about a lot in December. He came here. And so relationship with God means that the only way to bypass the curse and the brokenness and the sin and everything that we see that started there in Genesis 3. The only way to bypass that is not through human effort, not through human scrubbing and cleaning and thinking. It's that we need a Savior in our life. And thank God we have a Savior. He is the way to eternal life. So what can we do about this year? I want to just give you two things. All right. We're going to not go long because that's what we do in January. All right. Two things I want to encourage you in 2018. To enhance your relationship with God is to make time for him. Okay. And the Bible speaks about lots of different things to to read the Word of God, to mutter or to say, to meditate on the Word of God, to sing, to study. All right? The Bible says make melody in your heart. But make time for God in your schedule. All right? I personally don't think there's a magical time. I don't think it has to be in the morning or in the evening or whatever. But whatever works for you, do it. Make time for God. And I would just challenge you that because we don't see him physically, all right, sometimes, unfortunately, we can forget about him, not be aware of him. But I do think one thing the Bible does talk about is that this should be a daily thing, a daily time where we connect with God. Two, to interact with his word. To interact with his word. To have a relationship with God includes having a relationship with his word. All right, the word became flesh. And we don't believe in a mystical relationship with God that you just kind of make up as your own. No. It's based upon and founded upon the word of God. And so make it a daily part of your life, whether that's to read a proverb a day, if it's the 15th, Proverb 15, whether it's Psalms or to read through the Bible, they're incredible. We've got access on our phones and apps, and do something this year to put the Word of God into your life purposefully. Amen? So let's endeavor to just bring more of a purpose into our relationship with God. And the Bible is so wonderful. It says, when you seek me, you find me. And there is incredible benefit and fruit that comes from abiding in Jesus. All right? Now, I want to just finish the rest of that song, Don Francisco. Don't worry, it's still going to be a poem. All right? But it wasn't the end of the story. In Genesis, it wasn't the end of that song. It talks about what God did. In the stifling heat of summer now, the gardener and the wife are in the field, and it seems that thorns and thistles are the only crops their struggles ever yield. He eats his meals in sorrow till he sinks into the dust from whence he came. But all down through the ages, he can hear his maker calling out his name, Adam. Adam, where are you? And though the curse has long been broken, Adam's sons are still prisoners to their fears, rushing helter-skelter to destruction with their fingers in their ears. While the father's voice is calling with an urgency I've never heard before, won't you come in from the darkness now before it's time to finally close the door? Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, I love you. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you that from your word we can see so, so clearly that we were designed, we were created to fit with you. You are the God. You are our creator. You are the designer. But God, because of Adam and our decisions, God, we have this streak in us and this propensity, as you said in your word, that we go our own way. And God, in this moment, God, we know it's at church, but Father, we dedicate our heart, we renew our heart to you to go your way. And your way only, and your way consistently, your way until we breathe our last breath on this beautiful earth you created for us. We seek you, we look to you. Father, thank you for a place and a thing called church where millions of people all over the world today are seeking you and looking to you in a variety of ways, styles. But Father, us in this moment, we tell you that we love you. We thank you. I just ask you right now just to connect to God in your heart. Say something to Him. Pray something. Sing softly. Connect to Him right now. Maybe for some of you, if you really, really hear what God is saying, is, boy, He's been saying, where are you? Where are you? Why? Because He loves you. He cares for you. He knows that life is only going to make sense with Him. Maybe for some of us who, we love God and we follow Him, but we're going to hear that call today and say, God, I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to listen to the serpent. I'm not going to listen to the serpent's seed and his people and those who he's influenced. But I'm only going to listen to your voice. That's where I am. I'm right here. I'm with you. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'll be honest. If God were to say, where am I? I'm lost. I don't know where I am. I don't know where he is. And it's a Bible word that God uses for people that are not connected to him. They're not in a relationship with him. They are lost. And that is a really terrible feeling. You don't know where you're going. Maybe the serpent has convinced you that you do know where you're going. But friend, you're lost. You need a savior. You need a home. You need a father. And Jesus is the only way back. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I've never given my heart to Jesus Christ, but I'd like to. You can today. Maybe you trusted in religion. Maybe you discounted and said, I'm too bad, I'm too dirty, God would never accept me. That's a lie. It's a lie. He loves you, sent Jesus for you. Or maybe, like the prodigal son, maybe you're not so much lost as you taken a journey. You need to come home to your father's house. Come home. You actually know your way back. He's waiting for you. He loves you. He cares for you. And today you can make a decision. He'll receive you back today. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, but I want to. I'm lost. Or I'm a backslidden Christian and I know I need to come home. I know I need to have a restoration of my fellowship with God, my Father. The Bible says all you got to do is believe, trust, pray out loud. And we can do that. I'd like to do it with you. So wherever you are and you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm lost, but I'm coming to a Jesus who loves me, a Father who made a way, sent me a Savior. Or I'm a rebellious Christian who's coming home. If that's you, just simply lift up your hand right now. Just lift it up real, real high. Wave it at me. Because I want to know that's you. God's dealing with your heart. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Lift up both hands. That's awesome. Wonderful. Anybody else? Say, that's me. I need a Savior. And I'm coming to Jesus right now. Anyone else? Before we pray. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Well, let's all stand to our feet as we get ready to go. You lifted up your hand, you say, Pastor, that's me. What I'd like you to do is, maybe you brought something with you to church, a book, a Bible. Just grab it and then come and meet me up front so that we can pray together, as we said. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap as they're coming. Let them know we're behind them, we love them, we support their decision. Maybe you're thinking right now, you know, Pastor, I felt like God was dealing with my heart, but I didn't lift up my hand. Well, just come. Just come in response to God dealing with you right now. Amen. Oh, he loves you. He loves you. And I don't want to embarrass anybody, but somebody right here, just come. Sometimes we think, oh, what are people going to say? Yeah, that's you. That's it. Yeah. Had a big bag to grab. All right. Oop. Sorry. Can't shake your hand. Oopsie. All right. He loves you. Amen. Aren't you glad we're not too dirty for God? Nothing separates us from the love of God. Now, if I were going to give you this, which I'm not, but if I were, you'd just reach out, right? And so God is reaching out to you. And so as a sign that we're saying, God, I'm responding to you, just lift up one of your hands, just to heaven. Just lift it up like this. And say, Father, I come to you. I believe that you love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. He died. You raised him from the dead. I put my faith in him. I turn my whole life to Jesus. I follow him for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in your family, and I belong to you. In your name I pray.